I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm K. Edward Copeland.
I'm David Helm.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching, brought to you by Simeon Trust, trying to work for better preaching everywhere. Nine Marks, giving you some healthy resources for churches. You can find out more about both these organizations at simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. You can leave us feedback. You know, you got a question you want us to answer, a topic you want us to cover?
Mailbag.
Mailbag. That's right. You know, just write us feedback at preacherstalk.org. Or if this is like blessed your life somehow, it's cool to read all the notes we get from guys who, and women who are listening to this and are improving in their ability to teach the Bible. And so it's always an encouragement to read. Today, this is a topic, man, we hear about this all the time. Workshops and people have written us about this. It's just like how to use your voice.
Using your voice.
Using your voice.
The actual instrument, not like right. Your sort of approach or your style.
Correct. Yeah. So we talked a long time ago, way back in the ancient times, about how to like find your voice. Right.
Right. I don't think Copeland had gray hair in his beard that time. That was
a beard.
But now that you found it, you got to know how to use it.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, just like, what do you do with what you got? So, like, I'm just, you know, Dave, simple question to start with.
Thank like, you.
Yeah. How much do you think about what you're doing with your voice, like, before preaching and then during preaching?
This is really interesting. So, I thought a lot about it when I was in school. And I think it's a critical area for conversation. So I was a communications major in college, partly in order to stay eligible, because I could stay above 1 point.
Major.
Yeah, I could get through. But they actually, I had a professor that he would make you stand up in front of the class, and every day we would all say, "How now, brown cow?"
Oh yeah,
and he would work on voice. And we were trained how to speak to the back of the room.
Right, right.
With a mic, without a mic.
Yep.
How to hear your voice without a need for those monitors they put at your feet.
Yep.
So even when my kids were going through school and they had to give their science projects, they'd have to practice on Lisa and me in the living room. And so, yeah, I think it's critical for you to know the levels, the ability, your own ear to govern the space you're in and make sure that you're heard and that God's word is clearly understood as a result of you knowing how to use your voice.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important.
So, okay, that's helpful. How much do you think about it like while you're actually preaching? Like, are you like, I mean, the preacher thinks about 10,000 things, hopefully, while they're preaching.
Yeah.
Do you actively think about what you're doing with your voice?
Okay, so I'm not of the Churchillian mode where you look at his notes and on the side he would say,
right,
pause.
Yeah, 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 sure.
You know, pause for effect, because he knew, I don't do that.
Okay.
Or be quiet here.
Yeah.
Those things happen naturally.
Okay.
And they might surprise you. You're using your voice in a way that you hopefully are accentuating the truths.
Yeah.
And sometimes that makes you go up. Sometimes that makes you go down. Mm. But I do occasionally think about it in regard to pace.
Okay, great.
So, you know, I'm a slow preacher. I don't think sermons need a lot of words. But there are times where I'm like, this is a little long.
Mm.
My sermon's long. So sometimes I'll think about the intro, and even on my notes, I'll just say, keep pace.
Yeah, and dear listener, by notes, what we mean are random scraps of paper when it comes to Dave Helm. All right, Ed, what about you? You think about it beforehand? You prep anything? You thinking about it while you're preaching?
I'm thinking about it a lot more now than I used to, simply because the older you get, the less wiggling room you get as it relates to your voice, and recognizing that that my instrument is my body, and sometimes my voice is reflecting what's going on in my body. In other words, if I'm tired, you can hear it in my voice.
Right.
Yep.
Or if I'm stressed or whatever. So I think about it a lot more now because when you're young, you can get away with a whole lot of things.
Mm. Well, it's good that finally, like, you brought up the fact you're old rather than me having to do so. I mean,
you were going to get it in some kind of way anyway.
Yeah.
But the older you get, the more you got to pay attention to things like that.
Sure.
And I've recognized that I've had to pay more attention as I've garnered more opportunities to preach in different spaces.
Mm.
Because every place you go is not going to have an A1 mic system.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just have to be prepared, to Dave's point, to be able to project. And I was thinking about this the other day. I've had at least two or three situations where the power went out.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was at a large church down in Peoria, and somebody hit the transformer in the neighborhood, and all the electricity went out in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say come back. I mean,
right.
No, I just got to go forward in this big auditorium.
Right.
And
find the back.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yep. Yeah. I think, I mean, given the fact that I'm training preachers all the time, I think about my own voice in order to help others think about their voice and what they're doing with it all the time. But even I agree with you, Ed, like more and more, like during the preaching, even I've been thinking about it. And it's like the easiest way is you just get your sermon clear in your head, right? Because if you ain't got no space to do that because you're trying to hang on to the next sentence, well, then you can't think about anything. But it's what we always say this to like six-year-olds, right? A lot of preaching advice is the same thing we tell six-year-olds, right? There's a difference between what you're saying and how you're saying it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And grasping how much different things come across when you pay attention to what you're doing with your voice has led me to think about it much more during the preaching. I don't think about it hardly at all, like before the preaching, like you, Dave, I'm not putting in, although it's really helpful for some guys, slow down here, right? We got one guy we work with who puts smiley faces on his page every once in a while because he doesn't know what to do with his face, right? Like do what you got to do to like help yourself out. But like it, there is a difference between what you are preparing to preach and what actually happens during the preaching. Power goes out. The situation is dramatically different than you thought it was going to be when you show up.
Right,
all kinds of stuff. So, all right, how about this? Ed, do you find it pretty easy to like use your voice well? I mean, I know we're all trying to improve on this and stuff, but like, or has it been a labor for you?
It's been a labor, but only because there has been times when I was not as clear as I needed to be with the organization of my material.
Mm.
So I couldn't concentrate on how I was getting it across. And it's become easier now the more that I've gotten settled into my personality so that there's no gap between how I actually am and how I'm presenting myself. What I mean by that is sometimes when preachers can try to put on a preacher voice.
Yeah.
That is not their voice.
Sure.
And I purposely try now, over the years, I've tried to sort of move my preaching more toward a conversational tone. So now that I'm in that mode, I find it easy to use my voice and to govern, to sort of control my energy levels so that I'm not sort of following some kind of pattern. Now, again, I come out of a tradition where the use of your voice, we call it a horn. If your horn ain't blowing,
right.
Hey, what you doing type of thing. So I had to sort of figure out how to navigate my way in that space and recognize that even within my tradition, there are people like a Gardner C. Taylor or a Lewis Patterson or, you know, some of these, E.K. Bailey, some of these great expositors. They just found a way to use their voice.
Oh, yeah, because those are three dramatically different preachers.
Completely different, but still revered in the tradition that I come out of.
By the way, we're not at the E.K. Bailey conference this year. It's going on this week.
Sure is.
Well, there you go. All right. Hey, so Dave, what about you? Have you had to work hard at it?
I think it's worth working hard at until it becomes hopefully more intuitively exercised.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think you make a mistake to not realize that your voice can not only accentuate the meaning, but define for the listener the import of what's being said.
Yep.
And so this is where, you know, you and I have listened to this guy, Nate Bargatze.
Sure.
He's got that great line that Alex Duke threw in front of us.
Yep.
Says, I like reading. I even buy books. But these books are the most words. Okay, he slows down on the word most.
Right.
This is where guys that are reading their manuscripts, flipping through an iPad, are not able to pay attention to voice, in my opinion.
Right.
So they don't actually know that a particular word, you know, drawn out, like a musical note can be drawn out, actually defines a passage for you and actually lands the import on the listener.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's massively important to go to work on.
Yeah.
How you say something matters.
Yeah. So which is interesting because we all know this intuitively, right? But preachers, for some reason, like to deny this fact. I don't know why. But like, let's just, we could spend all day doing this, but let's just mention some of the common failures of voice that we often see. I'll begin by reiterating one, Dave, you just brought up, which is essentially ignorance, right? Like I'm not even aware. Or even worse, like active neglect, right? Like I just don't care.
Right.
But like when you think about guys who are like in that ignorance space, what are things that you're seeing, Dave, guys do that are just like, man, what are you doing with your horn?
When your voice is not wedded to the affection of your heart, the listener can tell.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Simeon gets going at Holy Trinity Cambridge around 1800, and they say that no one had ever heard preaching like that.
Mm.
Well, and then when you start reading the descriptions of it, when he was reading his prayers from the Common Book of Prayer, they were no different than the ones being read at the churches next door. But they were being read by someone who the listener knew believes what he's praying.
Yeah.
And so I think a common mistake is to have a voice that's declaring truth formally.
Yeah.
But it has not found its resting point or origin from the heart from which those words come.
That's a great word.
Good.
You know, I had a girlfriend in college. We used to argue about everything. One day she told me, I like to hear you talk when you think you know what you're talking about.
That's right. But that's it, right?
That's it.
Right.
But you notice she said, when you think you know.
Oh, yeah. I caught that.
Yeah. Clearly, it is stuck in your mind. Ed, what other kind of failures do you often perceive in use of voice?
I think this gets back to something we already talked about, and that's pace.
Mm.
Not just pace for effect, but even pace as it relates to your breathing.
Right.
And not breathing appropriately or properly.
Yeah.
And so there's a measure of stress you bring to the hearer because of you're either talking too fast or you're not breathing appropriately or in the right places and all those types of things, because it feels that even though the audience might not be able to say specifically what's going on, but they recognize, okay, this is not pleasant to my ears and this is not being effective because I'm so concerned about you and whether you're going to fall out. I can't even hear what you're talking about.
Yep. So mine was similar. I think you could classify a lot of these under like a lack of variety, So a lack of variety and pace. A lack of variety in volume.
Yeah.
A lack of variety in speed, right? It's just the same thing. It's like, well, why didn't you just record yourself and hit play?
Yeah.
Right? Like, or why didn't you just have some AI bot just read this thing for you with the same kind of, and it's interesting. Some guys will get loud and stay loud, and the ear is just not able to bear with the same thing for too long.
That's true.
So think about it. Just any sentence, right? Any sentence. Let's take one. You and I need to listen to Jesus.
Right.
All right. Think of all the ways that declares meaning.
Sure.
You and I need to listen to Jesus. That says one thing. You and I need to listen to Jesus. You and I need to listen to Jesus. That's three different meanings. And it's the same language, but it's controlled by the use of your voice.
Yep.
And that's where that's why it's so critical.
Yep.
I think there's some things, I don't know, I can't duplicate it right now, but there's just some tics or like things like verbal fry.
Oh, yeah.
And nonsense words that sure. we use that sort of diffuse the energy
mm-hmm.
and are, they don't land really well on the hearer's ear.
Right. And what's so interesting, I mean, people have pointed this out for the last 3,000 years when it comes to talking about public speech, but pleasant speech, I don't mean tickling the ears with things that are untrue or whatever. I just mean like a speaker that's easy to listen to. It's almost imperceptible why it's pleasant.
Yeah.
And yet what's such a bummer for public speakers is failure of speech is easy to pick up on a second. I don't even know why that's bad, but I don't like that.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's true.
And those things are glaring errors. But what we're not talking about, I hope, is that like use your voice that everybody goes, oh, what a flowery, magnificent, you know, statesman. Like it's just like, no, it's him speaking from the heart. Right. He believes what he's saying.
Right.
And I don't even know why that was so easy to listen to. But man, it's lunchtime already. Right. Preach on, preacher, instead of like, ooh, thank God. Right. Chicken time. Because you're just like, I can't stand that anymore.
That's true.
But these are like a lot of times imperceptible things. So let's talk about like maintenance of voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my. So I don't even talk about like in the preaching moment, although there are some of these things that would help you dramatically. But like, how do you, you know, Ed, how do you keep from just like blowing out your voice?
Rest. Oh. That's the major thing.
That's not intuitive.
Because again, your instrument, we like to think that our instrument is our voice. No, your voice is the amplifier. Your instrument is your body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if your body's tired, the amplifier is going to amplify whatever is going on in the body.
Yep.
And so you got to get some rest.
Yep.
And water.
And water. Yeah, you got to be hydrated.
And you got to get the water 2 to 3 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't like guys that they get up in the pulpit and they got a bottle of water. That tells me.
And they start sipping because they don't know what they're saying.
They start sipping because they can't get through it. Right? That means you're too late to the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You needed all that ahead of time.
Right.
And now you ran out when you were supposed to be preaching it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that I think can hold people back.
Yep.
There's other things that can hold you back from good use, though. I mean, Spurgeon smoked a lot of cigars.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know what happened to his voice. I will tell you, for me, I've had to try to draw back a little bit because I can feel my voice changing.
Mm.
And so if you have patterns of life that might deteriorate your own frame, well, then you're no good.
Yeah.
So you've got to, again, live as a man under control.
Yep.
Think about Simeon again. There was like how many months?
Dude, yeah, it was a minute.
He couldn't preach.
Right.
Because he didn't have a voice.
Right.
Because he wore it out. And then all he can say is, well, I guess God wanted to lay me up for a while. Well, is that really true? Or did you just not handle your voice? I'll ask him that when I see him one day.
Right. Right. Yeah. I learned this when I switched from preaching in English to Spanish. And the worst is now when I will like flip back and forth because I speak in a different register in Spanish than I do in English naturally. It's not a huge difference, but it's a slight difference. And I have to watch myself very carefully when I switch into Spanish.
Go back.
Because it'll blow my voice out just because of that slight little register change. And so I think that one of the things that I'm always telling guys is you got to figure out like what your register is.
That's true.
Because if you try and preach too high and you're up here and it's just this weird little thing where essentially it rises and you're not using your diaphragm anymore, you're blowing out your amplifier, man, you'll wreck your voice in 20 minutes. So you've got to figure out how to get in this comfortable range, which is interesting because what your range is, what my range is, isn't the same.
That's true.
And some guys have got bigger ranges than others. Some guys have like stronger instruments or weaker ones. And you've got to figure out like exactly who God made you to be.
That's the point right there. You got to figure out what your instrument actually can do.
Yeah, that's right.
Because sometimes guys are trying to do things with their instrument that they've heard somebody else do.
Right.
And you don't even have the same instrument.
Right.
What's the name of that Spurgeon chapter?
For those with slender apparatus.
Yeah.
You got a slender apparatus.
You got a slender apparatus. And so you got a flute. You try to be a tuba. No.
Right.
It don't work.
Yeah, it don't work.
You know what? What's my dude? One time I was with Joel Gregory.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's got a voice.
I was talking to him and I said, Doc, I said, everybody, God has room in his orchestra for every type of instrument. So every instrument just has to play to the ability of their instrument. He said, you're right, Ed. Wait a minute. He said, you're right, Ed, and I'm an oboe.
He is, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yep. It's an oboe.
But you, and you, like, I think sometimes it's like, look, you just gotta, I've had students like this and I've had to tell them, like, God did not gift you with a voice worth listening to. So you gotta work to use what you got, because you can either disparage the fact that God made you the way he made you, or you can embrace the fact that you could use this thing, but it's gonna take more effort than the next guy.
That's right.
Now, so can I say something?
Yeah.
So, because, you know, we get a lot of flack from people like, oh, you guys are always trying to talk about persuading people. Mm. Now, your use of your voice, you're going to try to do the work of the Holy Spirit now by paying attention to your voice. But can we at least acknowledge that when masters like Spurgeon spend chapters on right. voice, or public speakers train with exercising in the morning,
yep.
I'm thinking right. of like Cicero.
Yep.
Went through exercises right. so he could speak for 3 hours.
Yep.
We've got to take care of our frame. And it's not that, oh, I believe I can persuade you by the use of my voice.
No.
It's that I'm supposed to take the best use of my voice, whatever the level of that apparatus is.
That's right.
right.
So, okay, here's where I want to shut this thing down. I'm imagining the listener going, okay, this all sounds great. I really want to get better at using my voice. So how? What are some ways that I could go about improving in just using my voice? I think I found it, right? I think I know what it is, but how do I improve in using what I got?
So the pandemic and going online helped me out a lot, because I wouldn't listen previously. I would very rarely listen to my sermons.
Mm.
But once we had to shut down and go online, I would go back so I could critique. And that's when I saw, okay, I'm straining yeah. a lot, or I'm doing this, or this is really, this sounds annoying to me. So I know it sounds annoying to them.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, was that easy?
It was hard. I didn't want to do it. That's why I hadn't done it up to that point.
Right,
but
yeah.
But, you know, at some point I had to recognize, okay, I need to, if I'm going to get better, I have to listen to what I'm actually doing.
Mm.
And so I would recommend, and actually a vocal teacher recommended this to me. He said, well, before you even preach, you need to record yourself. See what voice you're in that day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because weather,
yeah.
you know, fatigue, how oh, stress yeah. you're under, all these types of things can affect that day.
Right.
So you don't want to be, you don't want the first time you're using your voice when you get in the mic and you really got to say something important. So yeah. how about you practice and, you know, do some warm-ups and even record yourself and listen before you get to the pulpit
right.
so you can hear what you might need to adjust.
Good.
So, Dave. Picking up on that, right?
Because
Ed is a gospel choir director, led massive 100-voice choirs. What do singers do? They warm up. They're going to sing a few scales. They're going to get their voice ready. What do athletes do? They're going to use the ligaments and length of the frame to be artistically involved at the highest level. They're stretching. They're preparing. They're getting ready.
Yep.
Why is it that preachers just don't do any of it and they get up and go and think they're going to get it done?
Right.
So that's one idea is physically take care of yourself.
Yep.
Two, do some exercises with your lungs and your apparatus, even breathing.
Right.
Right.
You're getting ready to deliver a baby. You might as well start learning how to breathe now with this sermon.
Yeah.
Then I would say I teach guys to stand up on the pulpit. Like if you're going to read scripture, even in our church, I have them every week stand up at the mic, and they usually don't want it. And I say, look at the back of the room. You see that post? Speak until you can hear yourself naturally know that you're reaching that moment.
Yep.
And so you start to train yourself on the spaces in which you're doing. All of those things should be done ahead of time.
Yep. My I completely agree. The only
and with that, I'm done.
my only additional recommendation, which I've said in I don't know how many episodes, is live an observant life. Right? There are things to learn from every public speaker. I mean, at a dinner party, or at you're watching a movie, you're listening to a sermon, just like, hey, why is this thing working? Because if you can't listen well, you'll never be able to speak well.
Great.
And it doesn't matter who it is or what they're talking about. You know, one of the people who's been most helpful to me is Louis Farrakhan. talk about some of the craziest stuff you ever heard in your entire life. But that dude can speak.
Yeah.
And so listening to just like, what is he saying? Now, what does that sound like in my voice? Oh, I can't do that thing. But I could do something like that thing to try and train your ear so that you can actually hear yourself as you're speaking. Not to just mimic somebody else, but to learn how voice works, because it's almost counterintuitive, because you're like, well, I've got the thing. I was born with this thing. I should know how to use this thing. Right. It's like, yeah, but like a lot of other things, but you're born with a brain, but doing logic is hard.
Right.
Like we have to constantly be about this process of training, getting better, and assuming that there's always further to go. So use your voice. Use it well. Take care of it.
We'll get better preaching everywhere.
There you go.
For more articles, books, and podcasts, please visit 9marks.org.